This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. On first listen, Leve's smooth jazz music might sound nostalgic, but make no mistake, the Icelandic 24-year-old isn't some born-in-the-wrong-era retro-revivalist. Leve is an artist who could only exist this generation. Steeped in jazz and classical since her childhood, Leve has performed with symphony orchestras, but she also writes confessional lyrics about dating, staying out late, going through breakups, lyrics that wouldn't be out of place in a pop song. Oh, and she has like millions of TikTok followers, which helps since she's trying to bring jazz to a younger audience. We'll talk about that coming up, and we'll talk about her latest album, Bewitched. It quickly followed up her 2022 debut, Everything I Know About Love, and has been nominated for Best Traditional Pop Vocal Album at the Grammys. You'll also hear live performances from Leve, beginning with this one from Bewitched, From the Start.
Don't you notice how I get quiet when there's no one else around? Me and you in awkward silence. Don't you dare look at me that way. I don't need reminders of how you don't feel the same. Oh, the burning pain listening to you harp on about some new soulmate. She's so perfect, blah blah blah. Oh, how I wish you'll wake up one day. Run to me, confess your love. At least just let me say that when I talk to you, oh Cupid walks right through and shoots an arrow my heart, and I sound like a loon, but don't you feel it to confess I've loved you from the start. What's a girl to do, lying on my bed staring into the blue, unrequited, terrifying. Love is driving me a bit insane. Have to get this off my chest, I'm telling you today that when I talk to you, oh Cupid, walks right through and shoots an arrow through my heart. And I sound like a loon, but don't you feel it to confess I've loved you from the start. Confess I've loved you. Just thinking.
Live for the World Cafe, you just heard Leve with From the Start serenading us with the song from her new album, Bewitched. I'm Raina Duris. Leve is my guest today. Welcome to the World Cafe.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so happy to have you here. There is a line in that song that stuck out to me right away. I mean, you're listening to this smooth, jazzy tune, and then you go, she's so perfect, blah, 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 blah. And it's instantly like, okay, this is not a song from like the 40s. It's a young person who's written these lyrics, who's talking like a person would talk right now. I know that bringing jazz to a younger audience is something that's important to you. Why are you on this mission to spread jazz to your generation?
Well, I was raised in a very classical music household, and my family listened to a lot of jazz. So it was something that was introduced to me from a very young age. And then I was really fortunate and privileged to get to study, you know, at pre-conservatory and conservatory, both classical and jazz music. So I was kind of born into that world, and I loved the music so much. And I found among my peers that nobody really had an aversion to it, but nobody had been introduced to it really. I think these styles of music are so beautiful and have been just in the past few years kind of difficult for younger audiences to access. It seems like it's something that's for older, more educated audiences. And I hate that the thought of this music, that I hate that that's the thought behind the music. I feel like this should be music that's kind of for everyone. So I kind of, you know, used these styles of music as inspiration in my own to kind of hopefully breathe new life into it and also offer it to, you know, new ears that didn't have access to it before.
Your parents set you up with an instrument pretty much right away. I think in your words, they gave you a violin as soon as you could walk. And I don't know, but I feel like a violin may not be my first choice to give to like a tiny little child because they're delicate. And if you can't play them, they sound
so bad.
Scary.
Yeah.
Do you know why they chose that as your first instrument?
Well, I think my grandfather was a violinist and my mother's a violinist. And I think they just thought it was really cute to have, you know, I have a twin sister, and they gave us two tiny violins and in little red cases. And I think they just thought it was like a cute toy. We didn't take it that seriously. It was kind of like a very loud, annoying toy, I guess. But definitely have some cute photos from that time.
Yeah, I would love to see a picture of that. That's so adorable. Also, just the idea of like tiny violins makes you really happy.
It's so cute. Yeah.
From there, you played piano, you played cello. But when did you discover that you had this voice and you could really sing and you could really sing jazz?
I think it was definitely later on. I wasn't, I was very focused on playing instruments until I was maybe like 12 or 13, and I started singing, and I immediately, like the first songs that I took seriously were just jazz standards, just jazz songs. I already had quite a low voice and a low timbre in my voice at that age, and I remember feeling a little odd about it. Like, it didn't feel like I had like a Taylor Swift or Miley Cyrus voice. I definitely had a voice that felt like it was going more in the direction of like, you know, Peggy Lee or Julie London, if anything. And so I just immediately started singing those songs. And I think, you know, when you grow up a string player, you kind of learn to sing through your instrument. And I think I applied that technique immediately with my singing.
Other than your twin sister, Yunya, did you have other people to share this obsession with classical and jazz, like other kids your age who were interested in this music?
Not many. There were, I think, when I became a teenager, I was a little older and I started going to the music school every day, not only for private lessons, but I was in group, like chamber music, playing in orchestra, in taking theory classes. Then I got to know the other kids and could definitely share that with them. But I think one of the reasons I've really sought to, you know, make music with these inspirations is to kind of find that community of people who enjoy this kind of music, who are my age or close to my age.
And it seems like you're starting to really find that.
Oh, definitely.
I'm speaking with Leve on World Cafe. Her new album is called Bewitched. At 15, you were playing the cello you were a soloist in the Iceland Symphony Orchestra, which seems like something that people will train their entire lives to get to do when they're adults. Could you talk about becoming a part of that orchestra?
Yeah, well, that, I grew up within the walls of the Iceland Symphony. My mother's a violinist there, and my cello professor is the principal cello there, and a lot of my teachers were in the orchestra, and I have just the best memories from being there. And when I was 15, there was a Christmas concert, and they wanted a cello soloist, and there was, you know, an audition process to play, you know, the Christmas song with them, and that's how that came about. But the Iceland Symphony is everything to me, and last year I played two concerts with them in Reykjavik, and we recorded an album that's called A Night at the Symphony that we've put out, and it's just such a treasure to me because of that very reason. It just feels like my family.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to play a clip of Let You Break My Heart Again. Here it is. My guest Leve performing Let You Break My Heart Again. Also, there's something about you singing about eating leftover pie with an orchestra behind you that I love it. And that contrast, it comes up again and again in your songs. Like, yeah. You sing about stuff that actually happens to you with this very grand, like, dramatic kind of music behind you. Why are you drawn to those little details?
I think I like to see the beauty in little things. And kind of in the mundane, if you will. And that's actually a craft that I think I took from jazz standards, and these standards are often taken from musicals, right? And in musicals, they're very descriptive. They're very literal. And I think, you know, oftentimes you know what they're eating, what they're wearing, because you only have a couple of moments in a musical to describe what's going on. And so I think I've kind of taken that also from, like, Taylor Swift is very descriptive in her lyrics. But I kind of like every song to be like a little movie.
We're going to hear you perform Let You Break My Heart Again in a second. Before we hear it, it's just you and a guitar that we're going to hear.
Yeah.
Talk to me about translating a song like that that you did with a symphony orchestra behind you into a song that you can play by yourself on the guitar.
Well, this is, I wrote the song originally like this, just guitar and voice. So it will be in its original form. It definitely takes on, you know, a different life with an orchestra, but I think it's extra intimate and sad, just guitar and voice, because it really does sound like a girl in her bedroom in tears.
Here's Leve with Let You Break My Heart Again, live for the World Cafe.
Coffee and leftover pie. It's no wonder why. Still, you take up all my mind. I don't even think that you care like I do. I should stop, heaven knows I try. One day I will stop falling in love with you. Someday someone will I pretend that we are more than friends. Then of course I'll let you break my heart again. I'm just trying to exchanged midnight calls, sunset views. only you knew what I felt like. One day I will stop falling in love with you. Eat my pie, pretend that we are more than friends. Then of course I'll let you break my heart again. Then of course I'll let you break my heart.
On World Cafe, you just heard Leve with Let You Break My Heart Again. I feel very lucky right now to be sitting. It's just me and Leve in this room right now, and it is so beautiful. I'm Rena Duras. Leve is my guest today. We've been talking about your early life as a musician, your sort of origin story. You were playing with orchestras. You were taking lessons. You were also on some singing contests on TV. And some of the performances earlier that you can find online, they're pretty pop-leaning. I'm curious if there was ever a time where you were like, I'm going to do more of a pop thing because that's kind of what people my age are listening to.
Yeah, well, it was a funny transition because when I started singing, it was all like jazz standards. And then actually the first like little TV singing competition I did, I sang Singing in the Rain. And that was the first experience. But then after that, I did these singing competitions where they literally had lists of songs that were approved. And they were, of course, all pop songs.
Okay.
And though I wanted to sing jazz, that was kind of the only option. There was definitely a pressure to go pop simply because that was all there was.
Right.
There was no one my age or no one even old. There was just no one in kind of popular music or young pop culture that was singing this kind of music. I think that's one of the reasons I've been so passionate about becoming, you know, this kind of a singer and this kind of a writer today, because I kind of filled that gap and became the role model that I wanted and needed.
Yeah. You mentioned going to Berklee. How did your time there shift your perspective or help you refine the kind of music that you wanted to make?
I think before I got to Berklee, there was classical music in one bracket, jazz music in one bracket, and pop music in another bracket. Everything was in brackets. And I had a hard time mixing those things together for some reason. I thought I'd be breaking the rules.
Well, they seem like they're like very, in a way, seem like they're very different
yes,
things.
Yes, exactly. And I think, you know, as long as you understand where that music is coming from and understand the history and the technique of it, you know, I don't see any harm in mixing those styles. And I think when I got to Berklee, I saw there was a lot of mixing and people kind of didn't overthink it. They were just making music that they wanted to make.
I'm speaking with Leve on World Cafe. We talked a little bit about this before, how jazz and classical can be kind of intimidating for a lot of people, not just young people even. I think just a lot of people feel like, oh, I don't know where to even start with this. If there was somebody listening right now who was jazz curious, what would you want them to know about jazz that would maybe make them feel a little less nervous about it?
Oh, I think I would say just tune out anything that anyone's saying about, like, when you find something that you like within the realms of jazz, just lean in and listen to it and enjoy it. If something's too confusing for you or you don't understand it, you don't have to force yourself to listen to it for the sake of understanding jazz, you know? It's just like pop music. You listen to one artist, you don't like it, it doesn't mean you hate pop music in a whole, you know what
I mean? That's a really good point. I've, like, never thought about it
that
way. Yeah. Yeah, you would never just be like, well, I heard this one, you know, Taylor Swift song and I don't like it. That means I'm never listening to any music like that again for
exactly,
again in my life. Yeah.
Exactly. That's very close-minded. And I think that's one of the things that's made classical and jazz kind of like hard to access. There's this thought that you can't like one or another song, you know, it's just the entire genre goes in the trash if you don't like one artist or one song. I think just don't be scared and listen to the music that makes you feel something.
We're going to listen to some more music now. You're going to perform a song for us from your debut album, Everything I Know About Love, that you released last year in 2022. Could you tell us about the song Falling Behind before we hear it?
Falling Behind is a song. So I'd been listening to a lot of bossa nova, Brazilian music, and the summer that I moved to LA. And I was looking around me and it kind of felt like everyone around me was in a relationship and falling in love. And my friends would be coming back from dates and being like, oh, this guy is so great. And, you know, and I felt like everyone around me was just in love. And I felt like I was falling behind in a way. And so I wrote a song called Falling Behind about that very thing.
Here's Leve performing Falling Behind on World Cafe.
Moved out to a new city. June is dawning down on me and all that I can find. A sickly romance in the air. Lovers stroll without a care inside. Ooh, this can't be right. Cause the sun's engaged to the sky and my best friends found a new guy. I'm only getting older. I've never had a shoulder to cry. Someone to call. Everybody's falling in love and I'm falling behind. Touched the ocean, fell right in. Stepped outside and burned my skin. My life won't go my way. Bossa nova in my room. Hope that I'll find someone to love. Because the sun's engaged to the sky and my best friends found a new guy. I'm only getting older. I've never had a shoulder to cry on. Someone to call mine. Everybody's falling in. Everybody's falling in love. Everybody's falling in love. Everybody's falling in love.
Leve with Falling Behind, recorded live for the World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. Leve is my guest today. That song is from her 2022 album, Everything I Know About Love. She has a new album out now called Bewitched. That's pretty fast between your first album and your second album. Why did you want to turn it around so quick?
I don't know. I think I kind of subscribe by, you know, if I have the energy and the inspiration to do it, I'm just going to keep on going. And then at one point, I will definitely want to take a break, and I will have a break then. But I think I just had a lot to say. I gave myself kind of a soft deadline, and I was like, if I don't meet it, that's completely fine. But somehow I met it.
And that's not all you've been doing. You also have a Christmas album, and you put out another new song, a collaboration with Biba Doobie called A Night to Remember.
Yeah.
How did you and Biba Doobie meet?
Well, I think we'd both been listening to each other's music for a while, but never properly connected. And I went to her concert this summer in London, and I went and hung out with her backstage. We had a session set up a couple of months out, but we had so much fun, and we're just chatting, and we're like, wait, we should just write this week just for fun. And I think we posted like a photo or a TikTok of ourselves together, and fans were freaking out. So we were like, oh my God, we should surprise them with a song. It was fun. I think I had a date that night, and I told her about it, and she was like, well, you have to go. So we were both very motivated to finish the song. And I feel like it's a true mash between our two musical worlds. And
yeah, because
yeah, I love it.
Beepa Doopy sits more on like the indie pop,
exactly,
sort of the musical spectrum.
Yeah.
Could you talk about merging those worlds a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, so B has some songs that are in like a bit of a bossa nova style, and so do I. So that kind of felt like the natural starting point. And we both wanted to write something a little, we've both been releasing kind of more cutesy, like little love songs. And we wanted to kind of show a darker, moodier side of ourselves. And I think also the song is about a one night stand, really. But there's so many songs about a man not wanting more than one night. And we thought it would be fun to flip the narrative and kind of say no to a man, you know, just that's one night. It's a night to remember, but that's it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the song, when we wrote it, it was just guitar and voice, and it kind of sounded sonically like an older bossa nova track. But then we worked with Jacob, B's producer, and it kind of brought on more of a sound that maybe is more in B's world. And but then I added some cello, and there's like this push and pull of our two sonic worlds, and it just kind of meets in the middle in a perfect way.
Let's take a listen. It's Leve and Beepa Doopy, A Night to Remember. On World Cafe, you just heard A Night to Remember from Beepa Doopy and my guest today, Leve. And both you and Beepa Doopy are biracial. B is Filipino-English. She grew up in London. You're Icelandic Chinese. I'm curious if that's something that you guys bonded over.
Yeah, I think it definitely is. There aren't many, you know, Asian women in the kind of singer, songwriter, indie space, increasingly. But, you know, when we were younger, we didn't have many people to look up to. And we definitely have, you know, a lot of Asian, a lot of Asians in our fan base, both mine and B's. And it's cool to see this community that I at least did not have growing up come together. And yeah, it's definitely something we talked about. And it's cute. There was a billboard of us up in London, the two of us together, and promoting the song. And my mother used to live in London, and she texted me after she saw that. And I put it on my Instagram story, and she saw it. And she texted me, and she said, you know, so my mother is a violinist, and she studied in London when she was my age. And she didn't have a work visa, so she couldn't get a job anywhere. And she was, you know, one of few Asians, and Asians were definitely not dominating any, you know, music scene, especially not the pop music scene in the 80s. So my mom said she was so proud to see, you know, two Asian girls up there and how different it is now. And it was just a very special thing to hear.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not sure, but in Iceland, is there a big Asian community? Like when you were growing up?
No, not at all. Like none at all.
You moved to LA a few years ago.
Yeah.
There is a large Asian community there.
There is, yeah.
How has that changed your relationship with that part of you?
Oh my God, it's changed it in the most positive, beautiful way possible. Growing up, I almost didn't know how to identify with my Asian side because, you know, I had a Chinese mother and that kind of felt like that was it. I mean, I grew up speaking Mandarin and ate Chinese food every day and spoke with my grandparents and my godmother is Chinese, and it very much an integral part of my culture. But for some reason, probably just because of lack of exposure to Asians on the daily, I just didn't connect with that side of myself. And the second I moved to LA and was around a lot more people who looked like me or had more similar upbringings, it's just, it's so special. It really, really is. Like, I feel like I used to identify as just something. I didn't even know what. But when I feel so comfortable getting to be a part of the Asian community, and it's so special, I feel like I've allowed myself to identify with that side of myself, which is one of the best things that I've gotten.
You've said that this album was written between Los Angeles and London. Mm-hmm. And those are cities with extremely different vibes. I feel like they're almost opposites. They're both mentioned in the lyrics, but are there other ways for you that those cities come through on the record musically?
Yeah, I recorded Bewitched, for example. I recorded the vocals in LA and I flew to London and was in the room recording with the Philharmonia.
Yeah, and there's part of Bewitched. I mean, that's the last song we're going to hear today.
Yeah.
There's a little scene in it that takes place in London.
Yes, we shot the music video in London as well and in Notting Hill, and it was just the perfect, it started raining during the shoot and I was like, well, my first thought was like, oh no. And then my second thought was like, wait, who paid for the rain? Like, this is so perfect. It's like a scene out of a rom-com.
We're going to hear you play Bewitched to close things out. Is there anything else that we should listen for that you want to tell us about the song before we hear it?
I don't think so. I think it's just, you know, it's a little love song.
This is Leve performing Bewitched on World Cafe.
Wrapped me in your arms, leaned in and whispered, keep me in your heart, I'm so bewildered. What's this new desire called? I didn't know that much at all about love before, but now I think I'm learning. You bewitched me from the first time that you kissed me. Waited all night, then we ran down the street in the London light. The world froze around us. You kissed me goodnight. You bewitch me. Every damn second you're with me. I try to think straight, but I'm falling so badly. I'm coming apart. You wrote me a note, cast a spell on my heart, and bewitched me. Bewitched me. You're not even gone. I already try to think straight, but I'm falling so badly, I'm coming apart. You wrote me a note, cast a spell on my heart, and bewitched me.
So gorgeous.
Thank you.
Recorded live for World Cafe. That was Bewitched, the title track to Leve's new album. Leve has been my guest today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
It was our pleasure. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.